We are in the wrapping up, actually. We've got just a couple more Sundays to go. We're in a series about the Ten Commandments, all found in Exodus chapter 20. There's a second reading of them, if you will, in Deuteronomy, but we're taking a look at the Ten Commandments that Jesus gave to the Israelites. And today we're going to be taking a look at one called You Shall Not Steal. Do not steal. It seems pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just four little words, but it is packed with information, especially when you take a look at it from the aspect of Scripture. Did you know, I looked this up because I didn't have any idea, but there is a burglary or a theft of some sort that happens 2.5 million times this year. That's one every about 15, 16 seconds. Okay? Somebody ought to stop that guy. You know, he's just way too busy. But it happens with frequency. Things get stolen. I'll never forget, I think it probably has happened almost every year that I've been at church camp. Whenever there has been a week of church camp where the kids had to manage their own money, now they're smart. They have to turn in all of their money, and then they get a card at the canteen. And when they want to buy something at the canteen, instead of handling money, now they just get the thing, they write it off on their, so they don't have to handle money, because inevitably, the kids come to camp on Sunday. By Sunday night, somebody is saying, my money is all gone. Somebody stole it. It seems that we are constantly in the process of believing that people have stolen our stuff, even though we may have just simply misplaced it. But I'm guessing, and I'm not going to take a poll or anything, but I would imagine that if we were to really, pool all of our experiences, probably most of us have stolen something in our life. Okay? Maybe it was a pack of gum from the drugstore. You know, you just slip that in your pocket, you walk out, parents are looking at their children. Children are looking at their parents, and parents are saying, now don't look at me. Maybe it was someone's test answers that you stole. Did you ever do that? You looked at somebody else's test because you knew that you hadn't studied, and so you stole their answers. But you don't think of it as stealing. We call it cheating. Yeah, that's way better. Maybe it was a stamp at the office. You had a bill that you forgot to mail, and so you just slapped a stamp on it, dropped it in the mail, because after all, are they really going to miss it? Just wait till stamps get to be a dollar. They'll start missing them. Maybe you slipped something into your grocery bag and you didn't pay for it. Maybe you took some money from your mother's purse. Or you took a toy from your sibling because you always wanted that toy and you never got it. I remember Norman Rockwell. I love Norman Rockwell paintings. I do. I remember this one. They're trying to buy a chicken. They're both trying to steal from the other one. She's trying to make it weigh a little less. He's trying to make it weigh a little more. There is some psychology behind why people steal. If you look it up, one of the big reasons that some people steal is because they do have a mental illness called kleptomania. We know that that's a real thing. It does exist. There are people who just for some reason believe that that their mental health is going to be wrapped up in stealing things. They don't seem to... Well, they may know it's wrong, but they just can't seem to stop. Their mind is convinced that it's okay to steal. They just can't quite seem to do it. For the rest of us, though, some people steal because they're greedy. Grandma's spare change jar is just right there. What's she going to miss? Some people steal as a means to survive, and I get that there are some people who don't have bread, and I'm talking about worldwide, there are some people who will go through the streets and they will take fruit. And they, well, if you've ever watched the movie Aladdin, you know that there are street rats. There are some people who need to steal because they just simply need to survive. It's an economic hardship for them. Some people enjoy stealing, though, because of the adrenaline rush. They run into the store, they see if they can take something and get away with it. It is just something about that. Maybe they need to fill an emotional or a psychological void in their life. Some people steal out of jealousy. Others have stuff that they don't and they can't afford it, so I will steal it. The other day I was at Blaine's Fleet Farm and Fleet. You see, in Minnesota, it was Mills Fleet Farm. And so I always have to try to think through my head, which one is it, Mills or Blaine's? But anyway, it's Blaine's. And I was at the counter, and I noticed that there were two people who had shopping carts, and they had tools and different things in them, and they just went right past me, and they started going out into the parking lot. I didn't know what was going on. They just, you know, we're casually walking past, and then all of a sudden, everything broke loose, and there were people running after them, and they met them in the parking lot as they were taking this stuff out of the shopping cart and putting it into their automobile, and before you knew it, there was a security guard and things. Apparently, they just thought that they needed these tools and whatever else, put them in the shopping cart, and away they went. And I sat there, dumbfounded, because I would never, ever in a million years dream of doing that. But for some reason, they just felt entitled to it. Maybe some people steal because they want to be accepted by their peer group, or maybe they need to prove their independence. Maybe some people steal because they're angry. They're angry at life, they're angry at the world. They think that everybody else's stuff should belong to them. They have a right to what others have, and there are some people who feel like it's okay to steal, especially from large companies, because they're so impersonal, and how are they ever going to know, and what difference is it going to make? If I steal a ream of paper from an office company that has, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people, what difference is that going to make to their bottom line? After all, they're so impersonal, they haven't given me what I feel like I deserve, so I'm going to take it. That's one of the reasons why some people steal from the government. Or they steal like Robin Hood. You remember Robin Hood? The movie says that he stole from the rich and gave to the poor. No, actually, he stole from the government and gave it to those who had already paid too much taxes. He stole from the king. That was his plan. And some people feel that that's appropriate. Did you know that right now, 1 in 10 people feel that it is fine to cheat on your taxes? 1 in 10. That it is okay, especially if you can do it legally and get away with it. To say that we have a stealing problem in our world would be an understatement. Now, maybe you haven't participated in any of these. Maybe you have. But regardless of the reasons why, this commandment, you shall not steal, this eighth commandment, is given to us squarely in that do not do category. Okay, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It doesn't say do not steal except for. You won't find those words. It just simply says do not steal. Thou shalt not steal, to quote the King James. And there's no qualifications. There's nothing else beyond this. And yet there are a lot of people who say, well, okay, I get it, I'm not supposed to steal, but I've read this commandment a number of times. I've never found the word but. It's just not there. Hopefully, though, if you follow the commandments and if you follow the progression of the commandments, you will see why it is necessary, why this commandment fits where it does. You see, up until this point, we have looked at the first four commandments, which all deal with our vertical relationship with God. Okay? God is to be a priority. His name, speaking of names as Bob was, his name is to be exalted. There is no other name that is to be elevated above God's name. We are not supposed to try to limit him in any fashion or any form by worshiping an idol or manufacturing an idol of any kind. The first four deal with that relationship with God. He must be our priority. He must be hallowed. He must be worshiped. We must be intentional about our worship time. Remember the Sabbath day, all of that. Then you get to Numbers 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7 deal with the most precious and powerful relationships that we have. The first one is with our parents. And then the next one is with ourselves, literally, with life. Okay? Do not murder. And then the next one after that is with your spouse. Three of the most important human relationships that we will ever have. Now we get into Numbers 8, 9, and 10, and Numbers 8, 9, and 10 move us into a next level of relationship, and this is our relationship with things and stuff and other people around us and the things and stuff that they have. So do you see the progress? We've moved from our relationship to God to our relationship with life and parents and spouses, and now we're into dealing with the stuff, the things. And so to begin to unpack this commandment, we first need to establish a little bit about ownership. And once again, it's really pretty simple. God owns it all. We can hold a deed, we can hold a receipt, we can hang on to whatever we want to as a way of proving that we have purchased something, but we don't own anything. And that is a hard concept for human beings to grasp, because we are all about owning things. That's kind of what we want to lay claim to our own education. We want to lay claim to our own occupation. We want to lay claim to our own retirement funds and our own automobiles and our own houses and our own this and that and the other thing. The stuff that we have, we want it to be ours. And yet the Bible is very clear. None of it belongs to us, regardless of what kind of a proof of purchase we may have. We need to start there, because even though we think that we own an item, ultimately ownership of everything can be traced back to God. And the reason for that is he created it. None of us have the capacity to create anything. We can be creative. God did give us that ability to be creative, just like his nature is creative. But none of us can take nothing and make something, because that's what creation is, where you speak into a nothingness and something happens. We can't do that. We can manufacture, we can shape, we can make, we can design, we can devise, we can be creative, we can do all of those things. But we can't bring something out of nothing. God can. He created all of the environments. He created all of the animals. He created all of the stuff. He put it all into place. He designed all of the biospheres and all of the ecosystems. He designed it all. He manufactured it all. But he also brought it into existence out of nothing. And so that mere fact tells me that he owns it all. I may take two things and put them together and say, look what I created, but I didn't create it. I manufactured it, and I've designed it, and I put it together, and I used my creative abilities to see something that maybe nobody else has, but it still belongs to God. As such, with God being the owner of it all, who has he put in charge of it all? Us. You remember what he told Adam and Eve? I created all of this, now I want you to take care of it. Take care of the garden. Name the animals. And Adam was pretty creative in some of the things. I mean, who would have come up with the word platypus? But ultimately, even God told Adam and Eve, I'm in charge of it all, and I'm going to give you one piece of advice. In fact, only one rule. Even though I own it all and I told you to be in charge of it all, be stewards of it all, there is one tree that you can't even touch. Do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you do, in the day that you participate in that, then you have taken away from me what is mine, and you are selfishly claiming it for yourself. And that's exactly what they did. Satan convinced them God didn't really mean what he said. You can take that fruit. I know it belongs to God. I know he gave you a rule, but you are in charge. You are the king. You are the owner. And that lie has been perpetrated throughout all of the generations and all of the ages until 2022, and it's still happening. You can take whatever you want because God doesn't own everything. You see, the Bible, and we're going to go through a few scriptures here, the Bible just over and over and over emphasizes that God is the owner, and we need to be careful. We need to watch out for greed, especially. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." But isn't that exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve? The only fruit they couldn't have. And he said, "You should. You really need it. Take it. I don't care what God says." Greed. And we still justify in our own mind all kinds of things, all kinds of possessions that we feel we have to have. I don't know how many times I begged my mom and dad for a bicycle. Why? Because everybody else had one. And it had to be a Schwinn pea picker. You remember those? Little wheel in the front, big slick in the back, 5-speed stick shift. It was gorgeous. I had to have it. I got a Kmart bike. Why? Because that's what we could afford. But I just believed that I needed that, and boy, did I even scheme, because there were a couple of kids on my block that had them. One had the yellow one. It was called the lemon peeler. I remember these things because I obsessed over it. But you see, just like everything else, when you allow yourself to obsess over those kinds of things, then where does your thoughts about God go? And so that's why Jesus said to them, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Because it doesn't matter how much stuff you've got. But just like all of the other commandments, this issue doesn't start with the behaviors. This issue always has been a part of the heart. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." The idea is where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Things always start in the heart. And what are you laying up for with yourself? There's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Achan. Some of you may remember that story. The people of Israel are supposed to go into Jericho. They're supposed to conquer the land. They're supposed to not take any of the plunder, but Achan does. He steals some of the plunder, buries it under his tent. Eventually, they go to war against the next nation. It doesn't go so very well for them. And so God leads them through this process so that they can uncover who the thief was. And when it is found out that it is Achan, do you know how serious the punishment was? You may cringe, because not only was Achan killed for his theft, but so was his whole family and all of his possessions. And we may say, "Really, God? For stealing?" You know, there's a lot, and I'm not going to unpack it right now, but there's a lot in the Old Testament about if you steal somebody else's property, you're supposed to repay them and you're supposed to give them more than what you took. This is serious stuff. The issue was not the stuff that was taken. The issue was the disobedience to God. Achan wasn't just stealing plunder. He was stealing from God because that whole process belonged to God. God was the one that gave him the victory. He was the one that, you remember the song, the walls came tumbling down. It was God's doing. So Achan was not just taking stuff because he felt he needed it or had a right to it. He was stealing from God what belonged to him. Stealing also reveals a laziness in our hearts. Do you remember in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he said, he who steals must steal no more. Rather, he must labor with his own hands so that he will have something to share with one who has need. A lot of people don't even equate stealing with laziness. And yet, the Apostle Paul doesn't have any problem with that. Jesus also points out that stealing is not just an act of betrayal against God, but it also demonstrates a lack of faith in God's ability to provide. We kind of learned a little bit about that in Matthew chapter 6, when he tells the people, don't worry about the clothes that you're going to wear, the food that is on your table, or, you know, because even God feeds the birds and he clothes the flowers of the field. Don't you think that he cares for you much more than that? And then at the end of that, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. The stuff that you think you absolutely have to have, if you are first seeking the kingdom of God, you don't have to steal it. You just need to trust in God's provision. And of course, stealing also has a spiritual component. Just like all of the other commandments, there is that connectedness. It's not just about the stuff. It's not just about what's in my heart. It's not just about the greed that I need to be on guard against. But there is also a spiritual connection. In the book of Malachi, we find these words. How have we robbed you? Because in the prophet's writings, he says, you have robbed God. And they ask, how? And the answer is in your tithes and offerings. Okay, now I've gone from preaching to meddling. I get it. Because there's a lot of people who say, you know, I've given $5 every moment of my life, but I'm not going to tithe. The prophet goes on to give us what God's desire is when he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then he even says, you will be blessed and the storehouse doors will be open to you and you will have more than you know what to do with. But too many people don't believe God's word. You see, there's always more to the commandment than thou shalt not steal, meaning I'm not supposed to take paper clips from the office. It all comes back to what is your relationship to our Heavenly Father? Are you stealing from God? The relationship that God wants us to have with Himself and with our stuff is really pretty clear in Scripture. He wants us to use things, not use people. He's given us stuff to use, to be grateful for, to be faithful stewards of the things that He has entrusted to us. He wants us to honor Him with all of the things that He has provided for, He has provided us with. How we handle it tells God all He needs to know. Will we be grateful for the fact that God has given us everything? Or will we be angry that God hasn't given us what we think we want? So think about what He has given you. Are you a good steward of all that God has given you? In order to do that, the first thing that you need to have is a relationship with Him. If you are unwilling to have a relationship with God, if you're unwilling to be obedient to all of the things that God has commanded of you, then why would you be obedient even into this? It all ties together. Your relationship to him and the way that you handle the stuff that he has given you.